Recycling is something we are very familiar with in Southern California. In California, period, you know, we have our different containers we fill in from our homes. We have drop-off locations. We're conscious of it here. We like doing it. And we are joined by Container Recycling Institute, Susan Collins, CRI President. Do you want to give us a little bit of a history about CRI?
Thank you for having me. CRI was started more than 25 years ago. Around the issue of beverage container litter and beverage container recycling. And we, for a long time, have been the only institute in the world that focuses primarily on packaging recycling with an emphasis on beverage container recycling. And we've got, you know, staff and volunteers around the country who are all very focused on increasing the packaging recycling rate in the United States.
And you just were on the news recently because you guys did something to show everyone what their involvement is, how many containers they use a year on Hermosa Beach. So you went out and did this art installation. You know, it was really pretty, an art installation, but to drive the point home about what we're using.
Right. I give presentations all over the country at different conferences every year, and I tell people in numbers how many beverage containers we all consume every year. And I realized I couldn't even wrap my own head around it. What does that mean? You know, each person in the U.S. on average uses the contents of 822 beverage containers. So I wanted to do something that could show people photographically what does 822 look like. So we gathered the containers in just the right amount of aluminum cans, the right amount of PET plastic bottles, the right amount of water versus milk versus soda, gathered it all up, and then put that together with an artist and gave her the enormous challenge of how do you actually make this pile of stuff look good? And the concept was to do something like a mandala pattern, and it was amazing. The artist's name is Suzette Irvin, and she made those 822 bottles and cans and cartons look beautiful on the beach. And then it exceeded our expectations in terms of feedback that we got from people. The news media were interested in it. People on the beach were interested in it. We just got so much great public feedback while we were there all day long putting it together.
Yeah, it was beautiful. And then it gave you an idea of what you use every year and why it's so important to recycle.
In the United States, the national beverage container recycling rate is 37%. Which is not stellar. And it's also a challenge for us right now because it was getting close to 40% a couple of years ago. So we're really concerned about the fact that it's falling, it's declining. But we know that we have these great models of what can be achieved. Here in California, the beverage container recycling rate is just shy of 80%. The California rate is more than twice that of the national average. And we would like to spread that good news more to get more states to pass beverage container deposit laws so that we can get really high recycling rates all throughout the country.
Yeah, everywhere, up to 90%. So 80%, that's good. We're doing pretty good in California. And it's really important. A family of four goes through, is it 2,000 containers a year?
Based on that 37% recycling rate, the national average is that a family of four throws away, that is, does not recycle, 2,000 containers a year.
It becomes pollutants, right?
Yeah. So nationally, we estimate that maybe half of 1% gets littered. So we're assuming that 99.5% of them get handled properly. People put them in the trash or recycling if they can. And even that just one half of 1% adds up to 1 billion beverage containers that get littered every year. And eventually stuff washes into streams and the streams wash into the ocean. Yeah. It's not just beverage containers. There's other types of materials that are littered, but the scientists are now estimating that all of that plastic waste that flows into the oceans is going to add up to more plastic in the oceans than fish by 2050.
So we have to do whatever we can to prevent more plastics from going into the ocean. And we have had recycling centers closed, and you have some of the biggest losers, you know, some of the counties where they've lost too many, 900 recycling centers that we've lost.
Right. Since 2013, when we reached our peak, We've lost in some years 100, in some years more than 400 for the last few years. And now, all told, it's been 900 centers that have closed since 2013. And it's not evenly spread out around the state. There are some counties that have lost as many as two-thirds of their redemption centers. So there are some places where I call them recycling deserts. Mm-hmm. It's just really hard to find a redemption center, and people are traveling for miles to be able to return their containers. And then when they get somewhere, they have to stand in line for a long time because it's one of the last remaining centers in the county.
Why are they closing? Why are we losing the redemption centers?
It's a series of one bad situation after another that sort of piled on. Mm-hmm. We've had overproduction of aluminum in China that caused aluminum prices to fall. And then oil prices are low, and that's the feedstock for PET plastics. So those prices fell. And the redemption centers are reliant upon two things. They sell the material and they get scrap value for it. So that's one of their payments. And then if that doesn't cover their costs, and it doesn't, they have costs of labor and equipment and rent and all that kind of accounting issues. And so when it doesn't cover their costs, the state makes up the difference. And it's been working that way for 30 years. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden, when the scrap values went down, the formula that's used to pay them is using information that's a year old. So they were being paid based on last year's reimbursement rates, mm-hmm. when this year the situation was completely different because scrap values had changed so quickly. And then, to top it all off, that happened over and over, year after year, for the last 4 years. So each year they've been paid less than the previous year. And all told, it's added up to shortfalls in payments of $50 million statewide to all the redemption centers collectively.
So they close because they can't afford to stay open. And then people lose their redemption centers and they have to drive long distances.
Yes.
This could be fixed, though, in our state government.
It's just a matter of fixing the formula. It just doesn't even take that many pages of legislation to write the words that would fix the formula. It's really a simple problem. They've been underpaid. Simple solution, fix the formula to pay them the right amount so that they're made whole and have a small profit instead of these tremendous losses every month.
Then they would be able to start reopening because we've lost so many of them in the Los Angeles area, about 100.
Yeah. So out of those 900 that have been lost statewide, 100 were lost in Los Angeles County. But as it turns out, Los Angeles County is still pretty well served. It's not suffering like the Bay Area counties are the ones that have the worst service, where they have in Marin County, it's only one center for every 131,000 in population. Another very hard hit county is San Francisco County, and basically all the counties around the San Francisco Bay, Alameda County, Santa Clara County, the coverage level there is really low.
So what can we do to work together to turn this into a win for the state to get our redemption centers back?
We very much need to get the attention of our legislators and the governor to make this a priority and pass legislation that would fix the funding formula for the redemption centers. Mm-hmm. That would make an immediate difference to the redemption centers so that they wouldn't be losing money.
At Container Recycling Institute, do you have information there about who's closed and who is still open, you know, who's in your area?
Actually, we have the information on our website is for CalRecycle. That's the state agency that runs the program. And they've got a great database on their website of all of the centers. And they literally make updates to it every day. Mm-hmm. So if there's a center available in your area, it's on their website. And when the centers do close, they take them off of that list so that you're not sent going to a center that's closed.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a really hot summer, maybe not in San Francisco. It's never hot there during the summer in San Francisco. But the hotter the summer, the more people drink, right? The more containers you have hanging out, floating out around there.
Volumes go way up in the summertime, and it's because it's hot and everybody needs to drink to cool down. And yes, this is not just a recycling law. It is called the Beverage Container Recycling and Litter Reduction Act, because the 5-cent deposit that's placed on those containers is a powerful incentive to get people to pick them up if they ever get littered. Mm-hmm. And so what we see, we've used national statistics, international statistics. We see the same pattern all over the world. Places with a beverage container deposit law have much lower rates of beverage container litter. Mm-hmm. It's a no-brainer, but the statistics prove it out.
It's nice to pick up a little bit of extra cash, but if they can't afford to pay you the redemption centers, then they have to close. And so all that's required is adjustments from our state government. And so you guys are a model, really, though, for the rest of the United States. You work around the U.S., right?
We do. We take the best practices in recycling. We take these really good stories of things that are working really well, and we travel around the country and sometimes around the world to share these great stories to inspire others to pick up these great ideas and start them in their area. I'd also like to emphasize the impact that this is having on consumers, mm-hmm. because we've seen here in California, the recycling rate has gone down in the last few years. It's gone hand in hand with these redemption center closures. The peak for the recycling rate was 85%, and that was in 2013 when most of the centers were open. And every year we've seen the recycling rate go down a little bit as the centers were closing. And so for consumers, that means $25 million a year that isn't going into people's pockets because they're not returning the containers at the numbers that they were a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. You're losing money, basically.
Yeah. Literally losing money, yes.
What's the website?
Our website, we actually have two of them. One of them is container-recycling.org, and the other website is bottlebill.org. And that one is very specific to these beverage container deposit laws. It has all these statistics I've been talking about and other information about beverage container recycling specifically.
And by containers, by the way, what we are talking about are
plastic and aluminum and glass. And it covers, in this state, the beverage types go all the way from coffee and tea to sports drinks, energy drinks, water, soda, everything but milk and wine and spirits.
Okay. Thank you, Susan, for talking to us about this really important topic. Across the U.S. and here in Southern California, Container Recycling Institute. Yeah, we appreciate your art installation and maybe we'll look forward to another one.
Oh, we are very excited to do it now that the first one went so well. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for having us.